Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of the Wormhole Podcast. I'm here with Francis Wallers, and today we're going to talk about the supernatural, spooky. So, Frank, tell me about what brings you to this topic, what your experiences are.
Well, what brings me to this topic is that I've always been an explorer. You know, I'm most fascinated by what's unknown, unexplainable. So, just naturally, I developed a fascination for the paranormal. You know, just wanted answers, just some type of proof that the spiritual realm exists.
Right.
So I would start with just doing my own solo missions, going into old abandoned buildings that I would think would be haunted hospitals. what else? A Masonic temple, because, you know, they believe a bunch of weird stuff.
I actually remember we took an adventure to the Masonic temple and didn't necessarily see anything that would definitely 100% solidify the existence of the supernatural. The shit was weird, it was spooky, but it was not, like, how would you say...
There was no, like, eerie feeling in there or anything.
No,
like
no, no.
Nothing, there was never, I don't know, there's, like, I've been in haunted places during my experience, and you can feel it as soon as you enter the place, you know.
Oh,
even
yeah.
If you're not looking for it, you just feel uneasy when
you
go into a haunted place.
The hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
Right, and so my first experience was at the Masonic Temple, and, I remember not feeling anything at all in that place that night. So later on in the night, we went to an abandoned hospital that was right down the street. And immediately, as soon as we went in there, there was just a very heavy feeling, just a very eerie feeling. Something just wasn't quite right, a feeling of being watched. And, you know, we just knew that, okay, this is a haunted place. So we went around exploring that place. We didn't even get close to exploring it in its entirety that day, but I don't remember anything specific, seeing anything, hearing anything, just that feeling, that eerie feeling that first night that, kind of, it just stuck with me. I like to be scared, just, you know, like we all like a thrill.
Right, yeah.
Get on roller coasters and all that stuff, you know, it's just, I liked that feeling. It was almost, you know, like, almost like an adrenaline type of feeling, adrenaline type.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Being scared, the fear in itself. You're so used to the mundane aspects of your life that anything to break you out of your normal comfort zone is definitely something that you want to engage in as much as you possibly can.
Right. So I believe that, you know, that how we first went into the Masonic Temple. It was a dilapidated building, very dark. You know, not much there.
Cool in its own right.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely was. There was a lot of stuff left behind in that building versus
awaken my inner Tomb Raider.
Hospital. There was like nothing left in the hospital. It was pretty empty.
Oh yeah.
But I believe it was a good. To me, it served as a good piece of proof. You know, just for my own, you know, opinion to. That there is something, that there is something about certain buildings and things like that. If I, you know, didn't have that same fear in that first building, which is, you know, easily comparable to the following one, the hospital, that just getting that heavy feeling at the hospital and all that, you know, that it wasn't just merely the anticipation of finding something, of seeing something that inspired that feeling. It was the atmosphere. It was, you know, something around us, something unexplainable.
Definitely. And I actually recall when you, so to speak, popped my cherry in the ghost hunting realm. We originally went to the Masonic Temple. This was the time we went was separate from your original times of going and exploring, so you had a bit more knowledge of the layouts of the places when we went during my excursion with you. And I do remember you first warmed me up with the Masonic Temple, and I was like, oh, this is cool, nothing supernatural at all, and I wanted to go ghost hunting. So that's when you were like, hey, let's go check out this hospital I've been to, and it's fucking scary. And we went in there, and I remember that this time we had, it wasn't necessarily distinctly, but remember we did hear like a voice.
Yeah.
And we had heard a voice, and then that scared the shit out of us. We were the only ones there. At first, we brushed it off. We were like, fuck, we heard something. But the man in us is like, you know what? I am an alpha male, and I will not be scared all from right. something that is unexplained.
No, no, no. He's not telling right. We ran. We ran as hard as we could up to the next flight of stairs when we heard that behind us.
This is 100% up for debate.
Because we, all right, so when it happened, when we heard the voice, we both looked at each other and then ran. Because him looking at me made me think he heard it too. As yeah, what it was a voice that sounded like maybe like 10 feet behind us and said, hello. And that's all we heard. We just heard hello.
I know.
We had walked down that corridor. We had looked into all of the rooms through that corridor.
Yeah.
And it was empty.
And it was completely empty.
There was nobody in there behind us.
And then I do believe that we had heard like a rustling in a separate floor when we were in a stairway. And that was also a little disheartening, if you would say. But I mean, that could be anything.
It could be the
place was completely fucked. You know, it was boarded up, broken windows. There could be anything. Raccoons, homeless people. It could have been it.
It was almost like the neighborhood playground. I've ran into like young kids there during the day and stuff, and their parents know that they're
going
to just be hanging outside the fence, you know, looking out for cops and letting them play around inside this building. But it was a massive building, you know. It was, there was always the chance that somebody else was in there. But like I said, we walked down that corridor, we looked into all of the rooms, and we did not see anybody. And the place is empty. There's nowhere for anybody to hide or anything like that, a table to hide behind. There's nothing. There's nothing in this building. It's cleared. So yeah, when we heard that voice, to me, that was my first paranormal experience. The first thing that happened
the first
to me,
one that you would definitely say, yeah, like, this was paranormal.
That was something paranormal. And I'm a skeptic, you know, ever since the beginning, and I still kind of am.
See, my with my experiences, I'm the polar opposite. I am not a skeptic so far as I'm more prone to believe in certain things. Now, we're not talking about cryptids and cryptozoology. I'm not talking about that I believe in chupacabra because I said a ghost exists, you know, but I am not opposed to the idea of ghosts.
Yeah, neither am I. Like I said, that was my first paranormal experience. My skepticism doesn't lie so much in a doubt that that paranormal realm is a thing. It's a lot of the ways, a lot of the methods that we use as paranormal investigators to find proof, to communicate with the dead and stuff like that, that I'm skeptic.
Now, when you say paranormal investigators, let's touch on that. Like, with your experience in your paranormal investigation team, like you were a part of one. And
yes, I was previously part of a pretty well-known paranormal investigation team, but things didn't go so well with them, and me and the majority of the rest of the team, minus two other members and the founder. We all decided to start our own paranormal investigation team, but from my first experiences with a paranormal investigation team, Aurora, Illinois Paranormal, there was things like the spirit box. The spirit box is something that races through different channels, different radio stations, if you will, AM, FM, whatever. It just goes through them, and they say that it's a way that the dead can contact us, can have verbal messages to send.
Sure,
to us,
sure.
That it's a medium of some sorts.
And on the science aspect of that, when you think of a spirit, now this isn't 100% proven, but spirits are what we think being electrical impulses that are left over from when the physical body passes. Mm-hmm. The human body is comprised of electricity, and that electricity doesn't... for instance, if you were to think of a battery, when a battery dies, it's drained and it's over. But electricity, if something that contained electricity were to stop working, that electricity doesn't go away. That shock is still inside of it, and it can be discharged into something else.
Right.
Now, with it being electrical impulses, that it definitely could pick up on radio frequencies being the spirit box.
Right, correct. And I understand the theory behind it and all that, why people believe that it is a medium to contact the dead. But I, as a skeptic, I go more to, I always lean more towards the logical explanation, had there be one. If there is a logical explanation and it makes so much more sense to me, I'm going to, you know, in my opinion, completely debunk what the other theory is. You know, that it's the
excuse me,
the dead communicating with us. So I, but what I think it is, you know, it's flipping through radio stations. Of course, it's going to catch active radio stations where there are people speaking. There's music being played. You even hear instruments.
Sure.
Like that. Now, it could be that it cut off a word, that you heard half of a word that was being said or something like that. And your mind, in the moment, it hears something. And I think that what you hear as far as a word, it's what you want to hear. It's what you're anticipating hearing in a lot of cases. But really, it wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't the dead. Now, do I think that it is possible that the dead can contact us through this device?
Well,
sure, maybe. Who am I? You know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not God.
Sure.
I don't know anything.
Not a Ghostbuster.
I'm an opinionated person, and
any adult should be.
I have my opinion. People have their opinion, and I don't ever say that I'm right and that you're wrong. Or
sure.
That I'm wrong or that you're right. Even if you have a good argument, I'll say plausible.
Sure,
know?
Sure.
I'll still hold the, you know, some strength.
There's varying levels of proof, you know.
Yeah.
Now, if you're offering audible and visual and physical towards I can see, hear, and touch, I believe you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, such things as like photographs and EVPs, which an EVP is just recording audio very closely, every frequency of audio that's you know beyond humans hearing or within our hearing.
Sure.
Now, if anything comes through on that, yeah, I think that we really picked up on a spirit. I've heard spirits on EVP say the names of people in the room, answer specific questions, and now you can listen to that audio over and over and over again and distinguish if it could possibly be something else that it's saying or if it really is saying, you know, what we thought it said initially.
Which sure.
A lot of cases it is saying what we initially heard.
Now, there's also a lot of talks I've heard about supernatural not necessarily being, as we were speaking of the electrical impulses, that may be a thing, but being that it's not somebody that necessarily passed from this realm, where it could be that in that specific area where you're at, or even just the people that have I don't want to say abilities, because we're not fucking X-Men here. We're not mutants. There's not a human that's going to be capable of different. But I do feel like there's people that are possibly more attuned to different, possibly even dimensional. Whereas these beings aren't even, they're not dead from this dimension. They might be, the veil may be smaller, and they could be from a separate dimension that exists in the exact, almost like a string theory.
Right. There are many theories as to what the paranormal is, what the unexplained is, the supernatural.
Multiverse.
And I believe we all have our own, and since not a single one of them is backed by science,
yeah, exactly.
There really is no argument to be had, you know, like whatever, for whatever reasons you hold strongly to whatever your theory may be, you know, like, that's just what makes the most sense to you. And, like, how he was speaking of the residual energy type, that's more to my theory is what to I believe.
Because that speaks to science.
Yeah.
And
It does speak to science in a way, and I think that it's just, like, how there's radio waves and things like that going through the sky. You can transmit a radio frequency to a tower far away, and then it can be, you know, manipulated by a radio and turned into audio, you know, as it left the person's mouth.
Sure.
In the same fashion. I think that it's just the paranormal, these apparitions, these moments where things move and stuff like that, it's just not, it can't accurately be monitored by science. In order to actually accurately establish.
Sure, I can see that.
You know,
I can see that.
What is actually occurring. How do we harness this energy? What is it about these conditions of this home or this area that allows these things to occur when there's plenty of homes that are 100 years old, 200 years old, same family lived in them forever, and there's no activity there?
And are some people, is it possible that there are specific people that are more prone to these types of activities happening to them.
No, that's another thing. It's possible that we all have this sixth sense.
Sixth sense.
To a certain degree. Some of us stronger, some of us less. Just the same as, like, vision, hearing, you know, all that stuff. Like, you could have great vision, you could have bad vision, you could have no vision, you know? I think that it's something that some people are gifted with or cursed with. The ability to see things, to hear things, to see into the future, see into the past, all types of things like that. Because these channels, they do surround us.
Of course. These frequencies exist. Frequencies exist. That is a proven thing.
You don't hear it, you don't see it, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Sure.
There are tons of things that we don't, you know, not a single human being in this world. Well, in my belief, there's things around us that not a single human being is in tune to, that they don't have a sense to pick up on, and neither does technology.
Sure.
That are occurring around us that we're not aware of, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. The theory of other dimensions being on the same planet, and these things that are happening inside of us, around us, through us, and all this stuff, like how we can't prove that true, but science in a way can prove it true, you know, like that there are other dimensions and things like
that. And the easiest way to do it is humans being so egotistical that we are, especially when we think science, we think that we've discovered everything that there is to discover, and that's just not. That's just such a fallacy. Like, we only know what we know. We don't know anything beyond what we know. We're still learning.
We're a very dumb species. To us, we're intelligent just because, you know, like, we're watching how fast, you know, technology is evolving and things like that. But when you try to think in comparison, all right, you know, like, let's shift the topic a little bit to how there's, you know, like, alien sightings and things like that. Now,
I like this.
Now, look at the things that they're flying in on and stuff like that. The things that we just don't understand. There's no thrusters, you know, shooting from underneath these crafts or anything, which is as far as, you know,
as far as we know, as far as
our propulsion understandings go, there has to be thrust, there has to be this.
It's always magnetic. We always say it's magnetic.
They figured out, their civilization went around long enough, or they were, through evolution, faster learners than us, faster at figuring things out. Who knows? Maybe, my theory is they've just been around a lot longer than we have. And, you know, their understanding of everything around us, the elements and everything, is far beyond what we understand. Like, we're very dumb on the plane of all the conscious beings in this universe.
Sure. And
in that general scope, you have the beginning of civilizations and stuff like that. You have just like it occurred on this planet, it's occurring on other planets as well. New planets, you know, new life and stuff like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
The universe is so vast. There's so much stuff that is happening as we speak.
Right.
Well beyond this planet.
I mean, hell, if we can't even figure out ghosts, why do we think we can figure out interstellar travel?
Right.
We don't even know what's going on our planet, let alone, we just have the oceans that aren't even 100%.
We got our telescopes and all that stuff. You know, we can see pretty far out there, but
we're just really good at pretending we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of it really, I don't know. Maybe we actually do know. Maybe science is correct about a lot of things, but then science is the most intelligent on this planet. Scientists are the most intelligent. Like, how are we going to argue with what their theories are?
And all of our science is based on the periodical table of elements that we have, and there's elements, new elements, that are getting discovered all the time.
Yeah.
Whether it come in, we have new elements coming in from asteroids.
Our understanding of evolution, our understanding of birth, how life is given, the engineering of a human being, engineering of any type of life, you know, how it's came about. It's
all unexplained.
It's all unexplained. It is all explainable.
We aren't
quite at that understanding. We're not. Our technology isn't advanced enough. Our understanding isn't advanced enough. The depth that we've dug into those subjects isn't quite deep enough to completely understand it yet. And yeah, we completely went off topic with that.
Well, we went off topic for this episode, but we can come back to this, and we will, because being the Wormhole Podcast, we are here to talk about all things, mainly space is just always the. It's so vast of a topic that like there's a million thing, unspeakable amount of things that can be happening in our galaxy, let alone the universe. We have no idea. We know about. I don't even know everything that's happening on this planet. I don't even know everything that's happening in my town, let alone for me to act like I know what's happening in space. No, it's such a vast topic. There's a million episodes we can have on that. But today we are going to talk about ghosts, and now we want to bring it back to that topic, and I'll go into my first explanations of what made me a quote-unquote believer. And the first instance I can remember is I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and this was at my family's original house, and this was with my mother and my father, and I don't remember the exact context of the evening. I was a child. Forgive my lack of intelligence as a 4-year-old, 5-year-old. But I remember that me and my dad were sitting in the living room. And adjacent to the living room was an open doorway that led into the kitchen. And my mom was passing through that doorway. And as she stepped through, we seen a china plate fly at the wall and shatter next to like my mom's head. And that was a very red flag moment, considering there's no one else in the house. So, long story short, I had a little bit of communication with my father post that period, and they had told me that, like, yes, they had like a priest come in from our local Catholic church, because we were Catholics at the time. Jesus Christ. That's a whole other can of worms we're not trying to open up right now. But needless to say, we were Catholics at the time. And our house was visited by a priest. I don't know what kind of rites or if they even do anything. I don't know. But all I know is that that was the last supernatural thing to happen at that house. Like, it was the one and done type of deal. But it made me feel uneasy always because I seen this happen. And I seen this happen at such an impressionable age that, like, it was just unexplained, and it always had that, it left that never-ending question in my head as to what caused that, what was that. And later on in life, I had another instance while I was a younger teenager. My friend Lynn, her mother was a local realtor, and she had keys to some of the houses that she was showing. And so, you know, being the shithead teenagers we're like, hey, go get those keys from your mom, and we're going to go get drunk and have a party inside one of these houses. And we did. And we used to walk past this house all the time going to school, and we would always say that, like, oh, yeah, these people got murdered in there. So I do believe that there was, like, a preconceived notion in all of our heads that, like, this place is probably haunted and there's some weird shit that's going to happen. And somebody later on that night had claimed that they were, like, pushed on a porch and that they fell down the stairs. And they did have the wounds to prove that they fell down the stairs. I think they were just drunk and possibly fell down the stairs. But I can't discredit the fact that possibly they were pushed. You know, I don't want to call them a liar. I don't know. I don't know the whole story, but they're probably fucking lying and drunk. But a time that I can talk about that we're not lying, and my wife can confirm this. She's not here in this podcast, but she's around, floating around, doing something. In my last house in Romeoville, there was a few people that died in that house. And this is true. The last occupant, him and his wife, had, not at the same time, but both collectively passed away inside of that house. So, and they were older. I would say they were probably, if I were to gauge their age now, probably in their 70s, late 60s, early 70s. And the first thing that happened was, and it kind of, I wasn't sure, I thought maybe it could have been an optical illusion, but it scared me. And it scared me to the point where, like, as you were saying, when we walked into the hospital, how you could feel a pressure of a presence. You feel a heavy blanket envelope you as, like, you're walking in, that feeling of, like, almost dread, for lack of better words. Like, it's almost like a feeling of dread. Like, there's an uneasy feeling. Like, and I was walking into the dining room, and, you know, as light shines past you, I had a shadow casted on the wall. And as I was walking, I witnessed my shadow turn around and walk a different direction. And that was like, oh, fuck. That was weird.
Is this the mansion?
This is the mansion, dude. The mansion was... I have fucking stories about the mansion. Oh, this is just one of them. Yeah. This is the first one. That disturbed me. One of the previous occupants told me about how she would see shadows in the corner of the room that would just, like, watch her sleep. And she had, like, even made a name for it. She thought it was, like, maybe one of her old bouncers that passed away and that was always there. And I was like, yeah, okay. Maybe it's my mind playing tricks on me in the middle of the night, but I seen one. I woke my wife up. I told her to look in the corner of the room. She seen it as well. We both kind of just put our heads back under the covers and went to sleep. That was strange. The weirdest and the most unexplained thing I could possibly say was the music. On occasions, probably around, like, I don't want to say the quote-unquote 3:33 witching hour, but it was around 3, 4 in the morning. It wasn't every day. It was infrequently, but often enough to really, really stand out. And you would hear... now, mind you, there is no other occupants in the house besides us, and there is no real neighbors. There are neighbors, but they don't live close enough to where you could have heard anything. They could have a party in their backyard, and you wouldn't be able to hear any of that. Excuse me. And you would hear indistinct two voices talking, a masculine voice and a feminine voice. You could never really make out what they were saying, but the voices, and there was a little bit of music. You could never make out the songs, but it always sounded a bit familiar. And it was kind of older timey type music, and you could hear these voices conversating and this little bit of music playing, and it would come out of the dining room. And you'd walk in there and the lights are shut off, there's nobody there. And like it doesn't get louder as you approach it. It would almost dissipate.
Yeah.
And as you start paying more attention to it, it becomes more and more vague. It sounds unbelievable, but like if you experienced it, you would know that what the fuck just happened. Like this is weird. And ever since then, I've always been a skeptic in the supernatural. Now, if we talk about aliens, the first instance with aliens I ever had, this was after my mom and dad separated. My dad ended up remarrying, and I had a stepmom. She was a complete skeptic. She was an atheist. She doesn't believe in God. She doesn't believe in any kind of spiritual forces. Very down to earth as far as, I believe what the fuck I see. I don't play games. I don't... Very no-nonsense as far as any of the supernatural or superstitious or any of those things. Like, religious. To her, religion is a fairy tale. And whether that may or may not be true, we'll talk about that. Probably never, considering it's so controversial. But, yeah, she does not come from the cloth of people that would believe this. And we had stepped out of the side of the house. It was probably about 10 o'clock at night. She was getting ready to go to work. She used to work nights, and that was when she worked nights at this marine corporation. And I would go spend the nights there with her sometimes because I didn't have anybody else to watch me. So I would go to work with my parents and spend the nights there. And one night, my dad wasn't working. I do believe my dad was out of town for work doing something else. And it was her and me, and we were leaving. And as soon as we stepped outside of the house, I wouldn't say right above my house, because, you know, what looks right above your house when we're talking about what's in the air as far as spaceships and airplanes and stuff, like, those can be hundreds of miles away, where it just kind of appears like it's above your house. But to a child, right the fuck above my house. we seen three crafts, and they were flying in like they were synchronized patterns. They were flying in like a triangular formation, and they were jetting around the sky in ways that you just it could not be explained with physics. And I knew that something was up because at first I seen it, and every kid just wants to look up in the sky and say, "Hey, look, a UFO," you know. And when I pointed it out to her and I seen her fucking jaw drop when she looked up in the sky, that was enough of an indicator that we seen something that was off the beaten path. We seen something that definitely threw that shadow of doubt into her mind that she didn't have before and previously. But yeah, and ever since then, I haven't had any other experiences beyond that. I had a reoccurring dream, oddly, when I was younger about, like, an abduction scenario. And the details are very vague, but I do have, like, a dream about that. And it was reoccurring. And I've read shit on the internet. Like, I don't want to believe everything you read on the internet. But I have read shit that says, like, if you had these reoccurring dreams and they're kind of vague, like, it might have been real. And so, like, in the back of my mind, I've never been able to just quiet that little fucking thought that, hey, maybe that was real, but I can't recall enough of it to really even give you an explanation of what I saw, what happened. I just remember vaguely, like, weird little things and dreams.
Best to keep that one under your hat,
Andrew. My hat is also made out of tin foil, just so any of our listeners could have a visual of this. And yeah, man, it was nuts, but it definitely made me the person I am today and made me want to talk about what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember as a kid always looking up into the sky and be like, it's a UFO, and sometimes like just staring at it long enough and be like, wait, that's not a plane. Like, what
was that really? Yeah,
like, I remember. You know, that just goes to show me, though, like, I don't look at the sky nearly as much anymore. Because, you know, if there was something up there...
And that's really an odd thing to say, coming from the fact that you're a certified drone pilot.
Right, right. My eye on that drone, that's it. Spaceship could fly right in front of it, my eyes would still be on a damn drone.
Oh, can you imagine catching that on fucking camera?
Oh, yeah, that'd be so cool. I've seen a few videos, like, people catching, like, hawks trying to swoop in and grab their drone and stuff, but like just missing it.
Oh, that's cool.
And getting that on camera.
Oh, that's cool.
Really cool. But yeah, UFO on a drone, that'd be pretty cool.
And now back to our topic of the supernatural, not to get off of that too much, but you were telling me like you had like photo evidence even?
Yeah. So the evidence that I go off of that actually like to me is proof is, of course, actually, you know, being there and observing, like seeing something, which I have yet to, but also photographs, anything comes up in photographs, you know, especially pictures that I took, you know, I know what was there, I know what was happening at that time, and yeah, some things have came through, and through photographs, some things looking like, one photo that I had found when rummaging through my photos from the previous investigation was, I seen this blur at the bottom of a picture, and it just so happened that that picture was taken a fraction of a second before one of the investigators had jumped and said that he felt something scratch his leg.
Oh, shit.
We seen a scratch on his leg, and immediately, like, I wasn't believing any of it. I thought maybe he did it, like, while he was, like, walking through the garage or something like that, you know, something scratched his leg earlier. But when I was looking through those pictures and came across that picture, it even, like, the shadow even, like, shadows right over his ankle and then, like, towards his girlfriend that was sitting on the floor. And to me, that was evidence.
That sounds like evidence, yeah, to me. That's fucking weird.
It wasn't outdoors. It wasn't like some bugs flew by or anything like that. We were in a well-lit house. The picture is high quality, and there's just this blur right along the bottom. And so I submitted the picture to my group chat, where all of us investigators would get together and share information and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of them had said, "Do you see the face?" And I was like, "What face? No, I don't see no face." And so
there was a face.
He blows up the picture, and he circles the face, and it is dead. It isn't like a warped face or anything like that. Like, that could be a nose. No, there's eyes, nose, mouth, hair, face looking directly.
Do you have this photo?
I might.
We'll look it up later. We'll look it up.
Look it up later.
I have to fucking check this out now at this point.
Yeah. So, there was that picture. There was another picture. That looked like a hand jetting out of a jail cell that I took at an old abandoned sheriff's office, which had a jail and stuff connected to it. It was where, this one well-known, I believe he was a gangster, John Dillinger.
Oh, yeah. John Dillinger.
He was kept at this place. This is in Indiana. He was kept at this facility at one point. So yeah, we investigated that place, and there was a couple pictures there, like a picture with an orb in it that was like under a bed in some children's quarters.
Now I've taken pictures with the orbs in them, and I've always been a skeptic. Is that a spirit? Right. Is it not? Is it just light shining off the lens?
Yeah, it could be from a direct reflection from the lens. Yeah, like orbs.
Now orbs, but see, what's weird is like when I shoot video and the orbs move around, that. I can see that. I can see that, right? But if I'm shooting video, my camera does not shine a light of its own. I have the light that's on in the room, sure. But, like, wouldn't I be able to see with my own eyes these same orbs that the light being casted off of a, of a piece of dust? Would I not be able to see that speck with my blind eye? Why would I need a camera to be able to amplify that?
Cameras don't have much further of a scope of like what's in front of them than the human eye does. Yeah, you're right. That is a good point.
And I didn't see the orbs while I was filming. Therefore, like it's not solid evidence. There might be a scientist to tell me like, hey, dude, you're a fucking idiot. Like, but there's definitely something there.
Personally,
and
I think that it's ties to the spiritual realm. I do.
I do too.
I believe in them too. But also, like, you know, blurring, where you see like blurs, foggy looking, like any kind of distortion in the picture that's only in one spot in one picture, but not in the rest of the picture. And like, say how we saw that streak across the bottom of that one picture. Okay, if that were that I had moved the camera too fast and it like caught something and, you know, it just like, you know, smeared across the photo.
It's possible.
Then everything else in the photo would be smeared and have that motion blur. But in the case of that photo, that wasn't the case. And another one that I took at the jail that has what looks to be some movement going across the lens. And there's plenty of things in that picture that are in focus still that aren't blurred at all. So it wasn't a motion blur from my end.
And that's fucking cool.
Right. And all to me, like, that's why I keep going with this and paranormal investigating thing. Those to me are proof. Even though I haven't ever seen anything, I haven't ever had a spirit follow me, I haven't ever, you know, I've heard that hello behind us that one time. And I've also had another experience at the hospital that was unexplained.
Questionable.
Yeah, it was questionable. It was just, you know, but I do have theories that debunk that, but still just.
And that's our scientific mind wanting to, no. This isn't something that's unexplained. This is something I have a rational explanation for what happened. It's your mind being fucking scared.
Right,
it's that fear that you're trying to rationalize this, and like you're being irrational. Damn it! That was not a ghost. It was just light. It was just a sound. It was a raccoon. It was anything but what it actually is.
Yeah, yeah. My skepticism isn't gonna like help me like form any bias towards anything really. It's just if I can explain it in a logical manner to myself, then I'm gonna go with that. It's the moments that I'm looking for, like seeing an apparition, feeling an apparition, feeling something pull my hair or something like that, or being pushed, that I turn around, there's nothing there. Okay.
Right.
That wasn't all in my head.
Yeah, you know? I did not completely fantasize all of this.
So I'm still out there just looking for experiences like this, trying to feel these. I've of course heard from other people who've had experiences like those, and I believe them. I believe them completely that these really happen. These are to me people who don't come off as crazy. They don't come off as
and the biggest thing is, why would they lie to you?
Right. And most people are embarrassed to tell these stories of like what they saw and things like that. They don't want to tell these stories at all. But these things really did happen to them. So I don't debunk anything of theirs. If I wasn't there in the moment, I'm not even going to come up with it could have been this, it could have been that.
I'm not automatically going to assume that you were full of shit.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. Even if it's completely, whatever you're saying is completely unbelievable, I do know that you are embarrassed to tell it.
Yeah.
That you don't want people thinking that you're crazy, and so I believe it.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I have yet to ever see anything or feel anything.
Well, we are definitely here listening and waiting for that moment, and I'm definitely excited for you to just give me that call one day and be like, Andrew, I just found the weirdest shit. Like, I anticipate that phone call, and I anticipate us learning more about the adventures of your paranormal society.
Yeah, so the new team were the Soul Whisperers. We just established this name last week, so it's going to take some practice to get it rolling off the tongue every time.
That has a ring to it. Yeah, the Soul Whisperers.
And
in the wormhole.
If any of you of the audience, if any of you have any anything's happening in your life, anything happening in your home, your workplace, anything like that that's unexplained, you want paranormal investigation group to come through, then look us up on Facebook. It's the Soul Whisperers.
That is the Soul Whisperers on Facebook, guys. Definitely check them out. Definitely, if you have anything happening. I know for a fact they do home visits. Do you guys charge?
Actually, we were still in talks about if we're going to charge anything. Originally, in our previous group, we didn't charge anything. It was a donation basis only. But we will be incorporating cleanses into our investigation. So that kind of costs us money as far as like sage and all that
stuff. Oh, yeah, sure. So, and that's definitely a solid practice. Before we get too off, why don't we talk about what is the cleansing process? What do you guys do?
Well, when we first enter a residence or a business place, we'll do a quick investigation. Well, not really too quick. We're pretty thorough about it. And if we do deem that the place is, you know, that there is activity there, there is a haunting occurring, we will proceed by putting holy water over the doors. We will also go through the entire house, every single room, closet, and everything, burning sage. And also there are we use Palo Santo sticks, which I believe is some type of imported wood that's been blessed and everything. We burn that along the way as well.
Okay.
And
they just don't like the smell?
It's I don't think it's the smell. I think it's just the presence of it. It's almost it's forcing. Whatever it is, it's repelling. They don't like it in their presence to be in the presence of it, in the presence of the. And I believe it's more of what the smoke and everything represents.
Right, and the Native Americans have been using sage and burning sage to get rid of evil spirits for countless years.
Right, so that part of the process, the burning the sage and the Palo Santos, that's supposed to repel it outside of the residence, and then we will sprinkle black salt in the corners of the residence around any openings and such things as that, and that's supposed to keep it out of the home. And we've had a lot of success. We actually started this with the previous group when they acquired a medium who is now the founder of our group, Lisa. She started the cleansings with the previous group, and we heard nothing but good things. We had plenty of happy clients, plenty of people that said it was a success. People that went from having seeing activity on a daily basis to just no longer. We've had clients whose children were sensitives, and they would every day see that they saw this, they saw that, they were talking to this, you know, dead relative and such things as that. But after a cleansing, the child, who has no idea of like what we're doing, what we're even,
why you're there, what
we're even in that
house
that we're cleansing the home, they don't understand that. But even then, immediately afterwards, they're no longer waking their mom and dad up at night, you know, saying that they've seen this, heard that. So it's a successful practice.
That sounds like a success story to me.
Yeah. So we've also came across, though, a few people who really just want us to contact what is in their home. They just want answers. They want to know why it's there and things like that.
Right. They don't have a story as to, like, who they think it might be. They have no idea.
But in the end, they don't want a cleansing. They've become comfortable with having this spirit there. They even, some people feel bad about kicking a spirit out because it was a previous resident or something.
Right,
like that.
Right.
It's been nothing but good to them. You know, it's never done anything.
Well, that's respectable.
Malicious to them. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely very respectable on their behalf to decide to live with these entities.
They're going
to
co-inhabit the space with a spirit. And
they could easily have us cleanse, you know. At that time, it was no extra cost to them or anything. And they would decide, no, like, I'm just going to live with this. So a lot of them would have a name for the spirit, and they, you know, Ben.
This is Charlie. Ben is cool.
Ben is cool. You know, he can stay. We just, you know, we want
to. You might feel him sit down next to you.
Get them more in tune, you know, like get to know, like, who he is, why, what he's doing here, what he thinks about us, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's totally cool. So any other social media you want to plug?
Well, my own personal social media, my role in the Paranormal Investigators is a photographer, and that's because I also am a professional photographer. I do classic photography and aerial photography. I'm a certified drone pilot through the FAA. So if any of you viewers, any of you listeners are interested in getting any pictures taken, get a hold of me. My company is City Sky Aerial Photography, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook. Whatever, just
look them up, guys.
Click, like, subscribe, follow, whatever.
All of the above.
Platforms allow you to do. And I'll keep you all up to date and entertained. And if you want to be a future client, just get a hold of me.
Awesome, guys. And this is the wrap up, I guess, for episode 2. I hope you all enjoyed listening, and I hope to hear back from you. I would like to try to do some podcasts. I would like to publish maybe like weekly. I know that might be asking a little bit much of myself and my schedule, but I just want to satisfy my listeners by giving you guys regular content. And so I want to try with weekly. Let's just, if you're going to hold me to something, can you hold me to every 2 weeks? But we'll try for weekly. And I'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening.
It was a pleasure.
Bye.